It's good to be back with you today. We had a good week at SC Camp. Those of you that don't know, Drell and I and the boys had been down at Children's Harbor and out close to Alexander City for the camp that Florida College has. It's a camp with emphasis on spiritual things, and it was a very uplifting week. I know the kids think the counselors do it for them, but we get a lot out of it ourselves. And a very spiritually uplifting time. Let's give you some news about my father. Last week, middle of the week, news wasn't too good. Was not anticipating that they would be able to do any kind of surgery, and they put a port in last week for him to start his chemotherapy. But we got a call late Friday, from my mother. And they had received a call from the top liver specialist, I can't remember the name, at UAB, who is looking at his case and says that he thinks that it might be operable and that the cancer has not metastasized from the liver. It's local. And he is coming to Birmingham tomorrow to talk to that surgeon and get some more testing done. So, There's more hope there than what we had originally been thinking earlier in the week. So we're very, very glad about that. Lots of prayers going up on behalf of my father, and I'm certainly appreciative of that. We all are. This morning I want to talk with you about the subject of Philemon. And Philemon is a very short book. And, of course, Gary read that for us this morning. When's the last time that you really thought about Philemon? I imagine Gary may have even had to look in the index to find it because it's so short. It's just one of those books that we don't talk about a whole lot. I'm sure Gary found it just fine. I'm just kidding. You know, but I had to look in the index. But how many sermons have you heard about Philemon? How many Bible classes have you been in that even discussed it? It's just not something that we talk about a whole lot. There's just 25 verses of it that are stuck back in the middle of the New Testament, where all those books are really close together and sometimes overlooked. But we can learn some things from it, from the book and from the man Philemon. And he is a great example for us to follow. So, let's just consider that if we could sit down with Philemon for a few minutes and what he might say to us. Well, you know, as Gary read, you know, there's a lot here that we can learn. The first thing that we learn is that Paul was thankful for him. And you know what? You know, we ought to live in such a way that other people could be thankful for us. And people don't always live that way. You know, just thinking about my father and a lot of the things that people were, you know, there are a lot of people at camp that know my father and had things to say to me about him. They're thankful for things that he's done for them in the past. And I appreciate that. And I am appreciative of him too. So we should live in a way that people can look at our lives and be thankful. And that's exactly what Paul says. After his initial greetings here in the first part of the book, we see that he says to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia. Some people speculate that may be Philemon's wife. Of course, we don't know. It's possible that that's his wife. And Archippus, maybe a family member of Philemon. And there's a greeting to the church in Philemon's house. He expresses his thanks for Philemon in verse 4. He says, I thank God, making mention of you always in my prayers. So Paul said this, and he said that he's thankful to God. He prays for Philemon and is thankful for Philemon in his prayers. So isn't that a great thing that Paul would say, one of the blessings that I receive from God is you, Philemon? And how many of us can that be said about? I'm thankful for you? Do people say that about you? I'm thankful for you, and I give mention of you in my prayers. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Wouldn't that be a great thing for Philemon to hear from Paul, that I appreciate you, I thank God for you, I'm so glad that you have been an influence in my life, and when I say prayers of thanksgiving, you're one of the things that I think about, and I mention your name. Would Paul be thankful for you? Or if Paul doesn't know you? Paul's not here today, but what about those of us that do gather together? If people in this congregation were writing this kind of letter, would you be one of the ones that they would mention that they were thankful for? In Hebrews 13, verse 17, says, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that will be unprofitable for you." Here, the Hebrew writer talks about those who rule over, and of course, talking about elders, and is saying that there's some that live in such a way that they can rule those people with joy, that it is a joy to have them in your presence. And of course, that's not always the case with everybody. I tell you, this, of course, camp's on my mind, and I'm probably going to be talking about that some. But I had Zach Harris in my group, and there were a bunch of other boys, a very spiritually minded group that were in the cabin with me and Rhodes Davis. Rhodes Davis was the other counselor, and you know him. He visited with us before, came to our last meeting. And great week, but you know, there was one boy that will go unmentioned, not even knowing him anyway, but he was the one that tried my patience. The rest of them, you know, were just great, but this one was just a chatterbox. And he got the chatterbox award at the end of camp. And I told him not to make a speech when he got the award. But he, you know, when we talk about those that we're thankful for in Hebrews 13, talking about elders, let them do so with joy and not with grief. You know, there's both kinds, aren't there? There's those that they would be able to rule over with joy, and there's those that they would rule over with grief. And it was the same way with these kids. Most of them were a joy, and there was one that was grief. And we don't want that to be the case about us spiritually, that we're the ones that cause grief. If we had elders here, which we hope and pray that we do someday, we'd want to behave and be the kind of person that the elders would love to have around, so that the same type of thing that Paul is writing about Philemon could be said about us. But I thank God for you in my prayers. And there may be others that I'm just praying for them, that maybe I can be thankful for them. So we need to think about those things. What kind of letter would be written to us? Not one with grief, but one with joy. Another thing that we can learn from Philemon is don't wait to be commanded to do what is proper. Look at verses 8 and 9. "Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now a prisoner of Christ Jesus." Paul is telling him that I'm going to be very bold to command you what is fitting. And Paul is telling Philemon this request. And, you know, there's a proper thing to do for Philemon. And all he has to do is appeal to Philemon. Philemon's the type of man that's going to do what's right. He's doing what's fitting and proper. And when we look at the King James Version, in this verse it uses the term convenient, to do what is convenient. Really, that's not the same understanding that we have of that word today. Ephesians chapter 4, chapter 5, verse 4 rather, says, "Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but
rather giving of thanks. This word fitting sometimes is translated convenient. It really doesn't carry the same connotation to me when you talk about convenient. You know, there's the word fitting really is more fitting, no pun intended. Because Philemon is going to do what is proper. And he doesn't have to be told to do that. He is that's going to be the way that he is. He is going to do what is best and fitting. And Paul understands that's the kind of individual he is. Now, is that the kind of person that you are? Are you the type of person that is going to do what's proper? Are you the type of person that's going to be doing what needs to be done without being commanded? Or are we the kind of people that say, show me the command? Are we the kind of people that say, well, nobody has told me to do this, but it's the fitting thing to do, so I will do it? And do we live that way so other people see that in us? Isn't it a wonderful thing when somebody sees something that needs to be done and they do it without having to be asked? Isn't that something that we want our children to do? There's a piece of trash on the floor. And I've told you before, at Brennan School they have character catchers. They get a character catcher award when a child is seen doing something that they weren't asked to do, but they pick up the trash or they do something nice for somebody else. They weren't asked to do it. They just do it. Well, Paul sees Philemon as a person of character. I don't have to ask you to do anything. You're just going to do these things. But then there's the other type of person that's, You tell me what to do and I'll do it. I'll sit around and I'll wait. Otherwise, I'm not doing it. Show me where it says I need to do that, or show me where it says I can't do that. Otherwise, I'm just going to sit here. Well, it's so much better to be the type of person that looks for what needs to be done and we'll do it and go the extra mile. We also need to live in such a way that people can have confidence in us. And don't you get the impression from Paul that he's very confident in Philemon? Verse 21, he says, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I say. Live in a way that people can be confident in you. Paul was confident that Philemon would do right. Paul wasn't just confident that Philemon would just do right. He was confident that Philemon would want to do what's right. And there's a difference. And he wasn't going to have to send another letter to Philemon to remind him. He wasn't going to have to argue with Philemon about whether or not he was going to do the right thing. Philemon was going to do it. Again, he says, I have confidence in your obedience, knowing that you will do even more than what I say. Isn't that a special type of character? You're not going to have to be told, now do this, do this, do this, and do this. You're going to do it. You're going to go the extra mile. I'm not going to have to badger you about it. He could let Philemon know what needed to be done. Philemon was going to do what's right. So, are we that type of person? Are we reliable? Do people know that we can be trusted to do things? That we will follow through? Are we trustworthy? Do people know that all you need to do to Randy is show him what's right, he's going to do what's right. He has the heart to do what's right. Is that the way people would describe you? Is that the way people would describe me? Or do I have to constantly be reminded, now Randy, you know what's right. You're not doing it. You just don't get that type of impression from the character of Philemon. To be shown what's right and to do it, that's a great quality to have. To be trusted to do the right thing without having to be constantly reminded of what's right or what you have committed to. What a great thing to have that kind of trust in somebody else. You know, Jarrell doesn't have to tell me every day when I go to work now, Randy, you remember that you're married to me. Because there's a commitment there. And every day when we get up and go out into the world, does God have to say, now, Jason, now you remember that you're committed to me. Are we trustworthy? Are we going to do the right thing? Paul says, I know, Philemon, you're going to do the right thing. You're going to do even above and beyond what I expect. What a great stamp of approval that Paul gives him. What kind of person are you? Well, how is it that we can live in such a way that people will be thankful for us? How can we live in such a way that we don't wait to be commanded on what to do, and that we can live in a way that others are going to have confidence in us? And Paul tells us, let's look at verse 5. Hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. So the first thing that we can do to live in this way is to pursue love. Paul could be thankfully confident of Philemon that he would do what was right because he knew of where Philemon's love was. You know, we've been in enough classes and heard enough sermons on love that we know that there's different kinds of love. And the kind of love that we have described here is the word agape, which means unconditional love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7, we have a description of love. And it never hurts us to review this, although you might even know it from memory, but how many of us really embody what it says on a consistent basis? Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Do we really embody that? Paul said that's what Philemon had. That's why he's able to be the kind of person that Paul would pray about and be thankful for and have confidence in and know that he would do the right thing because he had this love as his foundation. Do we have a love that suffers long? Do we have a love that does not envy, does not parade itself? In other words, it's not about me. It's not about being selfish. It's about not seeking your own, but seeking someone else's benefit. Not being easily provoked, not rejoicing in evildoing. Philemon was not going to seek his own. He was not going to be provoked. He wasn't going to take into account a wrong suffered. He would not rejoice in unrighteousness, but he would rejoice in the truth. This all plays into Paul knowing that Philemon was going to do what's right. If you know people that you are thankful for and that you have confidence in them to do the right thing, don't you know that they embody these principles of love? We need to study these characteristics. And we need to apply them every day. But if you don't embody what we see in 1 Corinthians 13, don't expect people to have the attitude about you that Paul had about Philemon. People will not be thankful for you if you don't have the kind of love that's described in 1 Corinthians 13. It just shows. Also, Paul could be thankful and confident in Philemon because he knew of Philemon's faith. Again, in verse 5 and 6, hearing of your love
and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and all the saints, the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus.
So Paul could be confident in Philemon because he knew of his faith. He knew that Philemon's relationship with God was not of the fly-by-night variety. It was rooted. It was grounded. It wasn't going to be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine that came along. Paul was confident of his faith. Philemon was one that was convicted. And he knew what he believed. He knew why he believed it. And Paul is thankful for that. And that conviction gives Paul confidence to say the things that he does about Philemon. When we are truly convicted that Jesus died for us and will come again, it's going to show up in the way that we live. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" Paul knew of Philemon's faith and his conviction. We need to understand why we have to have that conviction and what awaits us if we don't. You know, just singing the song, "It Is Well With My Soul," it makes me think of camp. Because at the senior camp, they have a singing every night in a gazebo that's there on by the lake. Singing is beautiful. They end each singing with that song, "It Is Well With My Soul." And some of you that have been down to Gulf Shore, the congregation down there may know the Spahn family. The man is a baseball coach. He has two sons and a daughter. His son Garrett, who was in my cabin, was baptized during camp. He came to me after gazebo and talked to me. He told me he couldn't sing that song. He couldn't sing "It Is Well With My Soul." And he wanted to do something about that. So he had a conviction. That convicted his sister was also baptized the same week. So when we are really convicted and know that Jesus died for us and will come again, we're going to live in such a way that we can have the same type of things said about us that Paul said about Philemon. Also, Paul could say the things that he said about Philemon because Philemon is going to work hard. In verse 1, he says, "Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer." Don't overlook, these small words here, like laborer. That means something. Philemon was not just a friend. Philemon was not just a brother, but he was a fellow laborer. Philemon was doing something. Philemon's love was not just in word only. Philemon's faith was not just something that he felt mentally. He was one that Paul described as a fellow worker. And that's a great thing. We see here in the book of Philemon that it talks about the church being in Philemon's house. That demonstrates something, doesn't it? It demonstrates a commitment that he had to the work. In verse 7, it talked about him refreshing the work there in the saints. Verse 7, "For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother." I just really appreciate what Paul says about Philemon there. And I want the same kind of thing to be said about me and you. Randy, we're glad that you refresh the brethren. Roz, we're glad that you have a good effect on your brothers and sisters. And for all the rest of us, we want the same thing said about us, don't we? Randy, you just really dragged things down there at Elliottsville. That's not what you want to be said. You want what Paul said, that the saints have been refreshed by you, brother or sister. The church met in his house. He had a commitment to the Lord, and he showed that in the way that he lived his life. And if we want to, people to be confident in us and be thankful for us, we need to do the right thing and we need to work. And if we don't work, then people may not be so thankful for us. Another thing that we see is that we go the extra mile. Philemon did that, as we've already read in verse 21. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than what I say. Isn't it always nice when somebody does that? They go the extra mile. That's why people like to shop at Publix, isn't it? Not only will they tell you where something is located, they will actually walk you over. Have you noticed that they do that? They're supposed to do that. That's what they're trained to do. I can't find the brown sugar. Well, they'll take me right over to where the brown sugar is. Not just tell me it's on aisle 7 and then go about whatever they're doing. They go the extra mile and people appreciate that. Well, Paul appreciates Philemon for not just doing things, but for doing above and beyond. Philemon would go beyond what was asked of him. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus tells us that that's the way He expects His disciples to be. Matthew chapter 5, verse 40, if anyone wants to see you, take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. Whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Go the extra mile. That's where we get this expression from. So Philemon was not someone that was just trying to get by with the bare minimum. And I'm afraid that there are many brethren that are trying to do that. They want to know exactly what it is that is the minimum requirement. How many times do I need to come to worship? How often do I need to read my Bible? Tell me what the minimum requirements are, and I will do those things. Is that the picture that you get of Philemon? Not at all. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. There is no work or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. Whatever you're doing, do it with all your might. When you serve God, do it with all of your might. Don't do it half-heartedly. When our attitude is that of just doing the minimum, we just don't get it. The minimum service and doing just what is required, that mindset is detrimental to serving God. It's detrimental to everything. It's detrimental on our job. It would be detrimental at Publix. That mindset is focused on me. And I do not want to do anything more than what I have to do. That's not the way we need to serve God. We want to be like Philemon. Having confidence in your obedience, I know that you will do even more than I say. Don't you want people to be thankfully confident for you because you are one that will go the extra mile? That's what causes people to respect others and honor them and be thankful for them. Let's be that kind of person. So there's a lot here, and there's more that could be said about the book of Philemon, obviously, but I hope these few things will just make you think about what kind of man he was that Paul could say that he was thankful for him. And do you want people to be thankful for you? I think we've talked about enough things that I have something to work on, and maybe you do too. Let's not forget these often overlooked books and these overlooked characters, because there's something that can be learned. We need to strive to be the kind of person that if something were written about us, it could be written in such a positive way, just like what Paul had to say about Philemon. If today you have not started that life as a Christian, you don't have what Philemon had, you haven't started that, we'd invite you to do so. Baptistry is prepared. If you know what it is that you need to do and you've been putting it off for whatever reason, don't delay. We always need to take the time that God has given us to make ourselves prepared to meet Him in eternity.
If we can help in any way, we'd invite you to come while we stand together and sing.